أحمدك اللهم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأشهد أن محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no God but Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger and the prophet, and we ask Allah to shed His peace and the prayers upon the Prophet and his household and his companions and his followers to the day of judgment. My dear fellow Muslims, of late we have been facing a new front. It's not exactly the front of attack on terrorism, but I mean the attack on Islam itself and the attack on the Quran. It so happens that we suddenly had to face an avalanche of attacks on the Quran based on quotations from the Quran itself. And amongst many others, myself and others like me and better than me have been facing quotations from the Quran in order to prove that Islam is a violent religion and Islam is a bloodthirsty religion. It is the pitfall of the keyhole approach. You look through the keyhole, and whatever you see, you conclude that this is what fills the room. Just randomly sampling the Quran and the passing judgments. This has been very rampant, especially on radio talk shows and in the media. And regrettably, I realized that even some Muslims fall into this mistake, just taking a line or two of the Quran and trying to make conclusions out of them without understanding the proper context. And so I think we'll be in need to expand on our education of the Quran, and perhaps today and on future occasions I'll try to bring about the most frequent verses of the Quran that others have misquoted or misrepresented. A famous one is one I heard from non-Muslims reading the Quran, and you will find them saying, I am not interpreting, I am reading. I am reading word by word from the Quran. And they very rightly read the verse like this one. فَإِذَا انْسَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمُ فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ وَخُذُوهُمْ وَاحْصُرُوهُمْ وَاقْعُدُوا لَهُمْ كُلَّ مَرْصَدٍ. Its translation is, But when the sacred months are over, then take the mushriks and kill them. And kill them wherever you find them. And capture them. And stand in wait for them to ambush them. Of course, if this is the sample of the Quran you present, you might reach certain conclusions. But proper education would lead us to put the verse in the proper context. This verse happens to be verse number 5 in Surah Tawbah. And of course, this understanding of the verse will look very different when we care to read the verses before it and the verses after it. And Surah At-Tawbah started with Bara'atun min Allahi wa Rasulih ila alladhina ahadtum min al-mushrikeen fasihu fil ardi 14 ashhur wa'lamu annakum ghayru mu'jizillah wa anna Allaha mukhzil kafirin wa adhanun min Allahi wa Rasulih إلى الناس يوم الحج الأكبر أن الله بريء من المشركين ورسوله فإن تبتم فهو خير لكم وإن توليتم فاعلموا أنكم غير معجز الله إلا الذين عاهدتم من المشركين ثم لم ينقصوكم شيئا ولم يظاهروا عليكم أحدا فأتموا إليهم عهدهم إلى مدتهم إن الله يحب المتقين. That is verses 1 to 4. And the context was, as you know, there was a war between the Muslims and the Mushriks. So the verse, which is often taken, misconstrued, to refer to Islam wanting to kill the Jews and the Christians, the verse does not touch the Jews and the Christians at all. It doesn't refer to Ahlul Kitab at all. It refers to the Mushriks of Mecca who were at war with Islam. And until the time came when the army of the Prophet went and conquered Mecca. And the majority of the people of Mecca and the notables of Mecca and its leaders came before the Prophet, surrendering to him, and he told them, go, you are the free people. But still remained in Mecca some people who were still kuffar, who were still mushriks, and had no peace with the Prophet, and they are the enemy against whom the war was launched. And came the time of Hajj, and the first pilgrimage, the Prophet appointed Abu Bakr to be the Amir of the Hajj in that year, because the Prophet himself did not want to go to Mecca while the Mushriks were still there and maybe wanting to do the Hajj also, so there will be the idolaters and the Muslims together in Mecca. So the Prophet postponed his own Hajj to the following year and sent Abu Bakr. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that from that time on there will be no more mushriks in Mecca. That Mecca would be a haram, a sacred place for Islam only, not including the kafirs with Muslims. And so the mushriks who did not accept to be Muslims were given the warning that from today there will be one religion in Mecca, and Islam sent, Allah sent this verse as a warning to the people, giving them a grace period of 4 months. The surah tells them, no more mushriks in Mecca, and we are giving you a grace period of 4 months in order to arrange your affairs and depart Mecca, go outside Mecca. No treachery, no taking by surprise, but giving them a period of 4 months, the duration of the sacred months, Al-Ashhur al-Hurum. And after the 4 months, the military operations will be resumed, because we'll not allow any more mushriks to live in Mecca. And so, you have 4 months ahead of you. And the surah says, if there are any with whom you have a treaty that spans more than 4 months, then the grace period will be until the treaty comes to its date of natural conclusion. So 4 months for everyone. If I am bound with a treaty that allows people, say, for 6 months or 8 months, the treaty should be respected and they'd be allowed to stay in for 4 months. And when that period is over, when the term is over, war will be resumed, and then Allah tells the Muslims to go and fight the mushriks again and kill them and capture them and ambush them. After the grace period of 4 months, or over if there is a treaty. But if at the last minute, or even during the battle, they choose to be Muslims, then they are exactly like you. They are Muslims like you. Those who did not go away and still remained in Mecca and accepted the possibility of war and the Muslims attacking them, the surah says, if during battle one of them comes and seeks shelter from a Muslim, please hide me, cover me, people are trailing me, they're coming after me, and you are a Muslim. And the surah says, give him shelter, give him asylum, until he hears the words of Allah. And therefore you have done your duty, and you told him what Islam is all about. And then take him and convey him to a place of safety for him. So if during the battle he seeks asylum in your home, accept him and cover him and let him hear the words of God, and then take him to a place where he will be safe. Is there anything more human than this? Is there anything more humane than this? And the verse exceeds the limits of what humanity has reached up to the 21st century. You give a full period of 4 months. And if there is a longer treaty, you respect the treaty. And then resume battle. And if they become Muslim during battle, accept them. And if someone chooses to be a mushrik but seeks asylum with you, hide him and let him hear the Quran. Then take him to a place you will be safe in. And this is how people treat the Quran. I have heard this verse time and time again from non-Muslims attacking the Quran. It became a new career, a new profession. But I've heard it also from a Muslim justifying attacking the Christians and the Jews, and justifying the attack on the World Trade Center. See the misunderstanding that afflicts non-Muslims, and one can see why, but also some Muslims are party to it by just extracting a verse, drawing their own conclusion, and using a verse for something it was never meant to be. Another such verse is the famous one, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. And this from Surah Al-Ma'idah. O you who believe, do not take the Jews and the Christians as your friends or confidants or protectors. And every time I am facing Christians, they quote this verse. The Quran impels the Muslims never to be the friends of the Jews or the Christians. Nobody is willing to say, to ask himself, what was the context? And the context was, of course, Islam came with friendship and peace and fairness to the Christians and Jews, giving them the honorary name of people of the book. But then came a period of time when the Jews and the Christians in his society sided with the Kafirs. And the Kafirs would ask the Jews and Christians, they tell them, you are people of the book and you know better than us. Tell us honestly, are we right or Muhammad is right? And the Jews and Christians told them, you are right, Muhammad is not right. Then came the time when they went into the habit of mocking Islam and the Muslims. And when they saw Muslims doing their prayers, they mocked them and laughed at them. اتخذوا دينكم هزوا. And then came the time when they go to the Prophet and say, we'll ask him to judge between us in a certain issue, and if we like his judgment, we'll take it. If we don't, we will not. And the Prophet would tell them, you have this judgment of this issue in your Bible. And they say, no, we don't have. And the Prophet would tell them, the Jew who came to him, remove your hand, because he was covering the part of the Bible that dealt with that issue. So they turned their back to the Prophet, probably felt that Islam is the new boy on the corner in the area, and they felt the competition of Islam. So they sided, and they would promise the Prophet their friendship, but then go from behind his back and plot with the Kafirs against him. And it would be natural, therefore, when Allah tells him, look out, take care. These people are mocking you. These people are plotting against you. Do not take them as your confidants. Which is quite logical and quite fair. But is this the eternal verdict on the Christians and Jews? No. Because in the same verse, in the same chapter, in the same surah, the Quran speaks about the ongoing, eternal, continual basis of relations between Muslims and the people of the book. In the same surah, the Quran says, الْيَوْمَ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ والمحصنات من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم. In the same surah, the Quran says, this day, the good things have been made lawful to you. And the food of the people of the book is lawful for you to eat, and your food is lawful for them to eat. And the good ladies from amongst the Muslims are lawful to you to marry, and the good ladies from the women of the people of the book are lawful for you to marry. Is it conceivable that the Quran permits a Muslim to get married to a Christian or a Jewish woman on condition that you would never trust her, never take her as a friend? It is inconceivable. And so we should look at the Quran with a basira, with understanding, not just taking this, the surface value of the letters and pull them out of context. In the same chapter, in the same Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالصَّابِئُونَ وَالنَّصَارَى مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Those who believe in Islam and those who are Jews and the Sabians and the Christians, whoever believes in God and the last day and does righteousness, there will be no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. These are the eternal rulings about the people of the book. But when for a special circumstance they do not behave right, then the Quran tells the Prophet, be careful. And even in the same verse also, Allah tells the Prophet about the Jews, وَلَا تَزَالُ تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى خَائِنَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاصْفَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah says, O Muhammad, about the Jews, you will continue to know about certain treacheries committed by them. Forgive them and forgo, because Allah loves those who are muhsin, muhsinin. And the Islamic ruling about the people of the book is well known. It is well known in the Sharia. Don't go to one verse that was uttered in a special occasion and they make it the eternal rule, because the eternal rules are known. They have our rights, they owe our duties, we eat their food. The Prophet would say, whoever hurts a person from the people of the book, it would be as though he hurt me personally. And we can marry their woman, and we can live with them in fairness. Unless they attack us, we have to defend ourselves. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم اسألوا ربكم يستجب لكم. الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My dear fellow Muslims, it seems that for the coming period from now on, our emphasis should not be on building more mosques, should not be on acquiring more numbers of Muslims, should not be making our education of the Quran just to memorize the Quran without understanding it. We should understand the Quran. I am really puzzled when some parents are very keen and very happy when their children can memorize one or more juz of the Quran without understanding it, without knowing what it says. Let alone, even if they understand it linguistically, They don't understand why this verse was revealed in what circumstances. Is it a ruling that was given for a certain circumstance so that it would be applicable in similar circumstances? Or is it a general rule to follow? More knowledge about the Quran is what we need in the coming period. Of course, we are facing a crisis now, as all Muslims in this country feel. I am not facing a crisis, but I am realizing further duties that we have to fulfill. But I am confident. I'm not worried about Islam. It is not mine. It is the religion of Allah. And if anyone is supposed to defend it and protect it, he will. But we hope to be good instruments in his hand, defending Islam, telling people the reality after we ourselves understand the realities of the Quran, and not just be superficial like the others in interpreting and implementing the Quran. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين. اللهم دافع عن الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم دافع عن الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم دافع عن الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من عاملنا بظلمه فعامله بعدلك. اللهم املأ قلوبنا بمحبتك واجمعنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك والحب فيك، وأحينا وأمتنا وابعثنا على لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.